Ignoring the most obvious question, which is why wasn't I invited? How did you end up at the hotel?
Oh, this guy I know. His parents keep a suite there.
Guy? What guy?
He's in my tech class. His name's Dylan McKay.
Wake up, Brandon. Everybody knows about Dylan McKay.
Knows what?
That he's like major trouble. I heard he got this girl in Paris pregnant.
Hey, everybody, it's again with this, a weekly look at one episode of a particular show. The show in question, Beverly Hills 90210. This is season one, episode two, The Green Room, with your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
This one is going to probably be a lot zippier than the last one, although I think I cut the same number of clips because there's a lot of real stupidity. But let's get right down to it. Let's go by storyline, starting from least to most interesting. And I would say the least interesting is the Andrea and Brandon story. Would you agree?
I'm sorry. I was asleep. Can you repeat the question? Yeah, it's boring, but then it also manages to be maddening. Mm-hmm. I did ask for a clip to be cut from this because I didn't realize the fluffing of Brandon as like the Bob Woodward of the Shelfhead set had started already, but it has. Yeah. Dave, could we please hear clip number two?
Sorry, Chief. I don't do editorials, especially when they're called From the Midwest to West Beverly, a transfer student speaks.
So change the title.
A little help, Miss Rhine?
I'm just the advisor. She's the boss.
Brandon, just try it. You might be surprised by what happens. Besides, you're too good just to cover sports anyway.
Really, you think?
No.
She does.
And that's why we never saw this faculty advisor again, because she's obviously an idiot.
Yeah.
And I mean, that editorial idea is terrible, but whatever. It's one of those like plot engine-y things. And then the editorial doesn't end up even talking about that really, but then everyone who hears it thinks it's really brilliant. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we have another related clip about...
Oh, I clipped the whole thing. Should we hear it now?
I don't know. Should we?
Yeah, let's hear it now. So this is clip number 18. Brandon basically busts into Brenda's room and orders her to read it aloud and then sits there and listens.
From a notebook, P.S.
Right. What? And making faces that show he's so moved by his own writing. So, yeah, that's number 18.
The Green Room by Brandon Walsh. What's The Green Room?
Just read.
Yeah.
There's an expression surfers use for the curl of a perfect wave. It's called the green room. And getting inside, it's the peak of the ride. This is about sports.
It's my viewpoint, Bren. Just read it, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry. To a new student like myself, the green room might as well be West Beverly. Because getting inside it, to the in crowd, the in parties, the in clothes, and in cars, requires a skill they never taught us back in Minnesota. So I thought. That was when I took it all at face value. When I believed people's images and played along with them. What I've learned is that appearances can be very deceiving. And if you believe them, you deceive yourself more than anyone else. I know better now. So when you meet me in the halls or in class or on the lawn at lunch, I'll be looking for more than meets the eye. And I hope you will too. Because that's where the green room is. Brandon, it's beautiful.
I'm mad that the episode denied us a shot of anyone else at the school reading that and being like, that's okay.
Yeah.
we don't need to meet. We're good.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry, there's a siren going right past the house. Apparently, writing cop was alerted. It's come to put a stop to us even discussing this.
Yeah.
Anyway, at least there was a minimum of Andrea making whatever sad frog eyes at Brandon, although he called her Andrea like 15 times and she didn't correct him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure that she knew what her name was at this point either. And there's also a kind of gif of her flopping down at her desk in victory after she makes Brandon write this thing, and her posture at this desk is so bizarre. She's like sitting like a little chipmunk with her hands up on the desk. But anyway, check out the page to see that. Second least important storyline, I guess, is Brenda and the Mean Girls, which already feels like we get it. This is a lot of stuff about Brenda as a normal middle class person versus Kelly as a person who's rich and has no character, and when asked at a store if she's going to pay with paper or plastic, bleh, which is gross enough, answers plastic, toujours plastic, which is even worse. Yeah, they go shopping.
That kind of was amazing. Sort of want to say toujours plastic to everything. I just love that she unfurled like the sheaf of 15 credit cards. Mm-hmm. There was like the Diners Club card. Sam's Club's in there. She's like, can I pay for this with the Old Navy Visa? But the weird thing is, like, first of all, Brenda, like, basically doesn't talk to Kelly, who's, like, groveling. Mm-hmm. Because she ditched Brenda at some beach party, which was shot so weirdly that they obviously could not afford any extras.
Yeah.
Like, it was just sort of tight shots on everyone, and also it was a cloudy day. Like, who cares?
Oh,
like,
it looks,
they live in L.A.
Yes, it looks so, so, so cold on that day. Like,
yeah.
No wonder no one's there. This isn't fun.
Yeah, it really isn't fun, and who would even bother to go? Like, if you live there all the time, wouldn't you just wait for a sunny day?
Yeah.
What do I know? But that, like, that relationship sort of yaws all over the place until like the middle of season one, because usually Brenda is the grovelicious mm-hmm. one, not Kelly.
Yeah.
And but I don't know. I mean, Brenda's also wearing a giant David Byrne blazer that appears to be a dress at the end when she's doing the monkey's walk with Brandon. So there's a lot I still don't understand.
Yeah.
25 years later.
I will say, I do think that, Brenda being mad about Kelly for leaving her at the beach is a legit high school complaint. That feels like a sacred high school trust of like, if you're someone's ride, that is important and you have to respect that and actually drive them places when you say you're going to. And the way Kelly and Donna do it is actually really shitty. Like, Brenda's like, oh, I'll go get Brandon because Kelly drove him too. And then they look up to the road and they're just driving away. Not that I blame Kelly necessarily for leaving them from the benefit of hindsight, but like, how are they supposed to get anywhere from there? They're like on Malibu somewhere.
Well, and also, like, in order to get from the beach up to the car and be driving away by the time they turn around, like, you really have to be, like, this wasn't an accident.
No.
And they looked around for them and then gave up. Like, they sprinted to the car and willfully ditched them.
They really did.
Brenda's definitely right to be pissed off. It's just unusual that she wouldn't be, like, obsessing over what she did wrong or whatever. Like, I feel like Brenda was much more on the back foot for longer in that mm-hmm. friendship, but maybe I'm misremembering. I guess we'll find out.
No, I think the turnaround is when we really meet the real Jackie, and then Brenda gets a glimpse of like what Kelly's life has been like, but we'll get there.
The main
meat of this episode revolves around, as we heard in the intro, the introduction of Dylan McKay, which comes about in kind of a weird way. Brandon is in his tech class, which I don't understand what this class is, why there's like a robot in this room just hanging out, and then Dead Scott working on something on a CAD. But let's play clip number 3.
What is it? Floor plan. What for? The perfect dance club.
So you've done your homework, man.
Looks are deceiving. I've never set foot inside a club. Every time I try, I get carded.
So how'd you design it?
I used my imagination instead of my experience.
Oh, how sweet.
Okay, first of all, kind of
I'm
on the
with the jocks right here. Yeah.
That is such a stupid way to put it.
Oh, a word gallant? Tell us more.
Yes. I also cut a gif of the title of the design popping up on the screen in like the most 1990 computer display that ever was. But Brandon and Scott apparently have not noticed that other than the two of them and the mean jocks, there's someone else in the room, and he will not stand for this bullying of Scott. Please play number four.
You know, the tragedy of this country is that cretins like you two end up running it.
Now, Sarah, you thought this was a good line.
I think it's a good line because it's accurate. Right. I hear you on the up talking.
Right.
I would also add, per your comment previous to the clip, that perhaps the reason they did not notice this fifth party is because he has a 21-inch waist and could not run off Dead Scott's hat, much less those two meatballs.
Yeah.
I feel like you have a follow-up comment.
Well, I do, but I actually had forgotten about that line, but as soon as I heard it, I immediately was reminded of this, clip number five.
I like how his voice goes up at the ends of sentences. That's very masculine.
As usual, 30 Rock's Jack Donaghy, mean but not inaccurate. Dylan somehow manages to run off the jocks just by dint of his reputation, because, as you said, he's teeny tiny. Like, I don't know what they thought he was going to do to him other than stab him with his pointy shoulder blades.
I think he also has a line where he's like, I don't appreciate people intimidating other people unless I'm the one doing the intimidating. I'm like, I immediately flashed on Kramer at his kid's karate class. Like, I don't know when we get to the stick insect baseball outfit, but I also thought of it.
There will be a lot of screenshots of that one. Yeah. But Brandon is sufficiently impressed that he seeks out Dylan when he's sitting on the stairs impeding traffic, reading a book, and goes to introduce himself. And Dylan is basically insufferable immediately. That's clip number six.
My name's Brandon Walsh.
Brandon Walsh. Scotch or Irish?
What? That's such a weird thing to say. And why does he care? And what is the Ancestry.com routine? Like, what difference does it make?
It's Scottish, not Scotch. Mm-hmm. Dillweed.
Or Scots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're wearing overalls with one strap unbuttoned. Mm-hmm. I knew Joey McIntyre. Joey McIntyre was a friend of mine, you, sir, etc. I mean, this guy. And he just is acting all pissy. Ugh, whatever. Anyway, let's continue.
Okay, so he hears that Brandon has just moved from Minnesota, and then he immediately gets the idea that he has to introduce Brandon to some local culture, which involves blowing off the rest of the school day, I guess, and fulfilling what was the in the beginning of this episode, a dream Brandon was having of being amazing at surfing, including a woman with the highest cut bikini in the universe. And so they go to the beach, and Brandon can't do anything but boogie board. And then he also meets Dylan's friend Betty. And while the three dudes, she's with these other two guys that are very dismissive of Brandon, rightly so. But then Brandon and his drying out armpit hair hang out with Betty on the beach a little bit, and he gets to know her and some facts about surfing. That's clip seven.
And when we got here, those guys told Dylan to get in the green room. Is that what you guys call the ocean?
No, the ocean's our house. Yeah, the green room's the gnarliest place in it. When you're in the green room, you're riding the perfect wave.
You don't go to West Beverly, do you?
Me? No. I don't go to West Beverly or Beverly. I live in the valley. Yeah. At the edge of town.
Watch out for the chuds.
We already know from the previous episode that the valley is where the worst people live on this show, so this is bad news. And Brandon has obviously wasted his time with her, but he also finds out a little bit more about her and her thesis statement. That's clip number eight.
My real name's Sarah. Erica, go ahead and call me Betty, because that's what they think I am, some dumb little serpent. But I got my own stick, and I can match any guy on it.
Bet you can.
Okay, we've just seen him sucking even at boogie boarding. Like, how does he manage to sound condescending at that? Like, it's kind of remarkable.
Yeah, it really is.
Boogie boarding's fun, though.
It is fun, but the episode makes it look lame.
They call them scrubs or whatever.
Yeah. Or spongers or something. Right. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Sarah, you were saying.
No, I was just groaning at Brandon.
So Brandon goes home, pretends he's going to go to the library to work on this story that Andrea has assigned him. But instead, he gets picked up by Dylan and they go to a club. And that is clip number 10.
So, is this what you call the Sunset Strip, man? No, that's what the tourists call it.
First of all, that's the second time Brandon has tried to say man in this episode, and both of them have come up min. Like, don't just rewrite your lines or improvise something, because that sounds incredibly unnatural. But we can't see in this shot is that they're parked in front of a club, not standing in line trying to get in, and Dylan is, like, sitting sideways in his car moping, like, why did you drive here if you were going to just sit outside looking all sad like fucking Morrissey? I don't even know why he had the idea to do this. But anyway, then...
Well, especially since we find out later, I don't think this character be here. But, like, he doesn't drink.
Right.
So, and he definitely... I mean, I guess we've seen him dance, but for the one who's, like, not the one who's always insisting that he doesn't dance, he's also a terrible dancer.
It's true.
Because stick insect. But anyway.
So the surfers show up, and Dylan's like, I have an idea of what we can do. So he and Dylan and Brandon get back in the car, and then Brandon picks up the book that's on the passenger seat that he somehow didn't notice before now, which was one of the most infamously terrible Dylan moments of the whole run of the series. And I say that as someone who mostly likes Dylan, and that's clip number 11.
Oh, God.
What's this? Ah, a little leisure reader.
Byron, the collected works?
Mad, sad, and dangerous to know. That was him, and that's me.
Wow.
Well, you're one-third right, douchebag.
Amazing. What's that line again? Mad,
bad, and dangerous to know.
Wow.
All while doing
please.
The... patented Luke Perry look up and to the left smirking acting tick, which is one of my least favorite things about him.
Yeah.
This show, the character,
yes,
being an American.
can we hear that again?
Sure.
Yeah.
No,
just little leisure reader.
Byron, the collected works.
Mad, bad, and dangerous to know. That was him, and that's me.
Or like, you know, David Caruso's character in Hudson Hawk, you know, he's got those cards he flips out. Like,
yeah.
That should be Dylan's thing. He has cards that just says mad, bad, and dangerous to know. And he kind of flips them out, gives them to people, and just, like, finger snaps them and walks away.
Then whips off his sunglasses like David Caruso in CSI Miami.
Yes. So they end up at the Bellage Hotel, and there's all this business where they're sneaking through and trying doors. And by the way, they end up in this room that happens to have a door open that's only on the second floor, which we'll get back to. But Dylan picks up the phone and is ordering room service while the other three like are making themselves at home in the suite. And Brandon is horrified. But then it turns out some things are not as they seem. And that's clip number 12.
Me. When your order is ready, would you be eating on the terrace or up in your suite?
Upstairs is cool, Tony. Very good, sir.
You live here.
Dad's corporate pad. It's mine when he's out of town.
And how often is that?
Often as possible. You see, my parents, they aren't exactly into parenting. But don't tell them upstairs. Wouldn't want to spoil the fun.
No. We wouldn't want to do that.
Well, stick around. Henry downstairs makes the best French fries in town. Brandon, come on. You wouldn't want to ruin my reputation.
You're right. Wouldn't want to ruin the only real thing you've got.
Wow.
Go ahead, Dave.
I mean... I'm sorry, are we waiting for Dave?
Yes, Dave had a comment.
Sorry. Yeah, I just wanted a little inside baseball, but this gave me an idea for another theme week for the site, which would be TV Know-It-All Week.
Oh, yes!
you know, like the characters like him, but also the characters that like seem to have, you know, like Gorin from CCI and all these characters. That'd be a good theme week.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's good. Yep. But it's but Dylan is also that guy. He's about everything. Like he acts like he has all of LA wired. He's also the one that brings Brandon to the
Well, he's School of Hard Knocks know-it-all, right? No. Like he's life experience guy.
Because he's
19
had to,
or whatever the hell he's supposed to be.
Right. He's had to make his own authentic experience as Dave because he grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth. But again, if this is his dad's corporate pad, second floor, that's pretty cheap. Come on, guys.
Also, maybe he does have this part of it knocked because he literally had just hung up with room service after belaying the order from 5 to 4. And then in the next scene, someone's going by with the room service tray like, dang.
Yeah.
All right, George Jessen, get after it. But then Brandon.
Why does he care?
It's like an insufferable off. Yeah. And he's like, I'd hate to. Like, he just told you that his parents don't give a shit what he does.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, enjoy your reputation. Stupid. Like, Brandon. Just say no thanks and leave.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Well, I don't understand. But again, I don't know why he's bothered by this. It's like finding out Marianne is the host of the party. It's like such a weird reaction for story reasons that doesn't ring true at all. But anyway, getting back to the beach party that we referenced earlier, Brenda and Brandon show up and he walks over some rocks weirdly to the little cove where Betty and the other two dudes are hanging out. And she abuses Brandon to seem cool to the dudes. And then he's like, okay, see ya, which is fair enough. And then she chases after him. And that is clip number 14.
I was just being friendly.
Yeah, well, you were friendlier yesterday. We're all so sober.
I thought you liked me.
I do. But this isn't you. Be careful, okay?
Is this the second day he's known her?
Yes.
Okay.
So who better to say what is or isn't her?
Yeah.
Yeah, than Brandon.
Well, you just have the special ability to see your true self. Look into your soul.
Just ask him. When Brenda and Brandon get ditched, they notice that someone seems to be out in the water surfing, except she's not surfing at all. It's Surf Betty, and she's in the middle of drowning. So they manage to get her to the hospital, and then the doctor totally breaks confidentiality to tell them all about her diagnosis. And that
thank
is,
you, God.
That is clip number 15.
So you're sure she'll be okay?
Thanks to you two. Her body temp had already dropped 2 degrees from exposure.
Is that normal?
Depends on what your definition of normal is. Happens all the time to alcoholics.
Are you saying she's an alcoholic?
That was just a random piece of information.
Yeah. The doctor, I cut the clip there because it's funnier, but the doctor is like, no one drinks that much for fun. Like, well, probably some people do.
You know who actually does? Alcoholics,
yeah,
professor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but also like this is none of Brenda or Brandon's business. Like, where are this girl's parents? But anyway,
my notes literally read "nice HIPAA doctor." Like, not a probe.
No.
even for the purposes of blowing gold up Brandon's culo.
Oh, wait. So then Cindy shows up, and that's clip number 16.
They're all right.
They're fine. They're also heroes.
I mean, let's not. They found a payphone. Like, let's not go overboard. Neither of them even looks like they're wet, so I don't know if they even went into the water to actually physically
Although, weirdly,
get her out.
Did you notice Brandon had, like, this weird Baja blanket over his legs at the hospital? Like, well, that's the hero's blanket. You get to snuggle. Fucking dude.
Yeah. So Brandon is not happy. He's horrified on Betty's behalf and goes back to this place and finds the surf jerks and starts a fight with them. And one of the surf jerks, the ponytailed one, is not impressed. And that's clip 17.
Man, that guy is a real tool.
Thank you, Sarah.
If you could get audio tattoos, that would be my first one on my forehead.
And Dylan goes over and stomps on the guy's surfboard and breaks it. And again, no repercussions for Dylan because his amazing reputation as a Parisian impregnator precedes
him. He just like steps on a surfboard and breaks it.
Yep.
Like that's
in half.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, you can't. I don't. That's not
even Andre the Giant would be like, "Damn, couldn't you have scored this first?" Like, it's obviously a stunt board. He weighs, yeah. I'm going to say, including his wetsuit and gel, mm-hmm. 117 pounds.
Gel.
Those things, I don't know thing one about surfing, but my impression is not that surfboards are either cheap or don't take a long time to like learn and break in. Mm-hmm. Like they're pretty personal. Mm-hmm. People can correct me in the comments.
No, I think
but the guy just
accurate.
Looks down and is like, bummer.
Well, instead of I guess I had that coming. Like, no.
Punching that little fuckwad in the throat and being like, personal property, get the knack. Oh, Dylan.
Yeah, so for all of the bravado that Dylan's been spreading all over town in this whole episode, we also get a glimpse of Dylan's private pain, and that's clip number 20. He's on the phone.
Well, did they leave a message for Dylan? Dylan. Their son.
An asshole? Nope.
No message. Would you just tell them that I called?
And that I'm mad, bad, and dangerous to know?
Yeah, they have the number. Oui. Au revoir.
Oh my god. Sad guitars.
Wait. I had to clip all of that. That was still 15 seconds of twangy guitar over Dylan looking sad, curled up in the corner of his hotel suite.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, my clip request actually was, I don't care which part of this scene you clip. I want the signature, like, bad boy in mourning Dylan guitar.
It was very Lethal Weapon.
Yes, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Well, that's they're contemporaneous, I think. And then the only other two clips I had are the, and then we end on another terrible season one ending line that's doesn't really go anywhere and is clearly someone ran out of ideas and was just like, well, I have to turn this in. And that's clip 21.
Yo, Bryn, I think we're going to make it here.
Speak for yourself.
I was.
And my only last two clips were more evidence of early season one. Haven't quite figured out the relationship between Brandon and Brenda. Twincest alert. That first one is clip 13.
Brenda.
I look awful.
You look great.
Really?
I take it all that mascara is waterproof.
Oh, Mom, don't start. So how great?
Okay, and then move on to 19.
Just remember me when everybody wants to get into your green room.
What?
That's her reaction to the to his editorial. Uh-huh. But yeah, not okay, guys. Really not okay. Tara, final thoughts before we move on to MVP and LVP?
No, like the. I always get the sort of Dylan introduction order of the program confused with, like, when does she see him in the shower? When does he ditch her at the movies? When is he running around in the acid wash duster, breaking a planter, and then, like, crying directly into her face? Yes.
That's yet to come. But not for, I think it's soon. I think it's in, like, a couple episodes.
I think it is pretty soon. And then they, like, make out for 2 minutes, and they're like, let's slow this way down. And I'm like, what? Slow what down? I don't think he even used tongue.
Yeah, that's also the episode where there's a different Jack McKay.
Yes, because I thought that was this episode where he comes in and it's like, I don't remember the actor's name. Oh, yeah, it looks like John Spencer, but like really tall. And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah,
I don't think I have any other thoughts. This one is a little less teachy than I thought it would be, but there are so many Brandon Blair faces that I am sorry for my Twitter followers that I tweeted last night, but I was like, it can't just be me and my husband going through this.
Yeah.
Please enjoy where I pause. And you could pause anywhere in those scenes. And he looks just as like combatively patronizing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like a very, very tiny drone.
In the highest of high dudgeon, always. Like, no one is more indignant than Brandon about everything.
From such a low vantage point, physically.
All right.
Had to say it.
Let's do it. MVP. Sarah, your choice.
I am interested to learn who you picked, but I'm going to go with the McKays for obviously sitting right next to the answering machine and being like, yeah, no, we're not here, like gesturing en français with parades on, like, nous sommes not to hear.
It's also weird that he talks about them as if they're still married, and the call makes it seem like they're together when later on it's like, didn't they get divorced when he was like six or something? So I guess that's
something
they haven't figured out yet. I know you hate Dylan. He's obviously terrible in this episode. I mean, but he's so, more than any of the other characters, he's so himself from second one that I have to give it to Dylan. He's like the main plot driver of this episode. And I think it would be very different if he
wasn't
there.
And don't forget that he's
mad, bad, and dangerous
to
know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I would actually, given the dearth of other choices, yeah, I have to allow that. And you're right. He is absolutely, I mean, as annoying as that himself is, he is absolutely consistent from the jump. Yep. So,
LVP, Dave.
I think by the next episode, I'll have more on theme MVP and LVP.
All right, Sarah.
Byron. Who drowned, not for nothing. Like,
right.
If that was why they picked Byron for this episode, I'm sure it isn't, but...
I'm going to give it to Loose Lips Doctor, who probably walked out from his meeting with Cindy to have his medical license revoked. and that's all for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Sarah.
Thank you, everyone, and I'm looking forward to breaking many planters with all of you in the future.
And this is your Flash the Cash DJ, and you're listening to KWBH. See ya!